Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome inside. I am Eric Fox.
And I'm Zach Natto. Welcome to the Press Box.
What's going on, Zach? How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great, Eric. I'm a little sad that the hockey season itself is almost over, but we have playoffs to look forward to, and we still got a few more games in the NBA to watch as well.
Yeah, it should be an exciting couple weeks here with the last week or so of the NBA and the NHL regular seasons, which we will touch on in our third segment. But the first segment, let's get it started with some more big news, big signings by Atletico Ottawa of the Canadian Premier League. Last Thursday, after our last episode, they signed forward Jean-Claude Lawson, who is the 18th player signed by the team, and he's 27 years old. Have you seen, like, he has some pretty amazing stats.
Yeah, this guy's awesome. He's like the all-time leading goal scorer for Detroit City FC, which is where he's coming from. 51 goals scored for that club. I'm really looking forward to this guy. He's an awesome striker, and he's got a cool name, Jean-Claude. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. I mean, team MVP as well. I have a very good feeling that he's going to be putting a lot of balls in the back of that net for Atletico Ottawa this year in the CPL. But earlier this week, they also signed a former Ottawa Fury FC center back and fan favorite, Drew Becky. He is 30 years old, coming from the last team he played for was the El Paso Locomotive FC from the USL, where he made 21 appearances. I personally love Drew Becky. When he was with the Fury, like I said, very big fan favorite. And I remember going to so many of the games the first year when I had season tickets. And he was definitely one of the strongest center backs in the league that year.
Oh, well, I'm super excited for this guy. I've seen a little bit of his tape, and he is 30 years old, and I think that makes him the oldest player on the team, but those years bring experience, you know, and he's been with a lot of big soccer clubs, not just in Canada, but in Europe as well. And one thing that I saw when I was looking at his some of his highlights is his defensive play. You know, he's not afraid to hold onto the ball and control it for a little bit, grinding the possession time away from the other team. And he's also such a huge team player that's like so many other players have talked about him. And a lot of the Atletico Ottawa staff are proud to have that kind of leadership in the team. And it's pretty cool to think he took the opportunity to come back to Ottawa at this point in his career, right?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely amazing to see him decide to make that change and come back to where he started, basically one of his first professional clubs. And I mean, he's seen success here in Ottawa. He's seen what the fans are like here in Ottawa. And I know he seems very hyped to be coming back to the city that, like I said, he seemed to be very popular with the fans. A lot of Drew Becky jerseys in the stands for sure.
And those fans are going to be dusting off those Drew Becky jerseys, I think, once people are going to be able to look at the games. And that kind of like old veteran presence is going to be invaluable to this team, especially with some of the younger players. They're going to be looking to him for some guidance, especially if, you know, the team faces some tough losses. And I'm really looking forward to what he'll bring to the team.
Yeah, I mean, I can't agree more. It's like you said, I mean, to have probably one of the, if not the oldest player on the team, but to have that veteran presence, he's moved around the NASL, he's played in the USL, he's played over in the Finnish league, one of the Finnish leagues. So, I mean, he's had a lot of experience and a lot of games under his belt. So he will be huge to help what looks to be like a fairly young team get comfortable in the Canadian Premier League. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's going to be exciting to see him, to see what the Ottawa Atletico Ottawa decides to do with the rest of these signings, how many more players they will sign. And obviously we're still kind of waiting on word from the Canadian Premier League as to when the season will start and how the fans will be allowed, if there will be fans allowed, and when that will happen. But that does it for our first segment here on the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. Stick around, because after the break, we will be touching on the Ottawa Senators and the Belleville Senators. So stick around and we'll be right back.
Don't go away. Don't you dare go away.
Boom.
There we go. A little aggressive there at the end, but
oh. That's okay. That's okay. It's fun to add some of that.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Here on the Press Box, I'm Eric Fox.
And I'm Zach Natto. How are ya?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic, man. This is probably my favorite segment of every week, talking about hockey. I mean, we're Canadian. You got to talk about hockey at some point, right? Let's kick it off with the Belleville Senators, who had a 2-win for 2 games weekend down in Toronto against the Marlies in the Battle of Ontario. What did you take from these games, Zach?
Oh, it was an awesome, awesome weekend for the Sens. You know, we had a new goalie starting for the first time on Saturday, Mads Søgaard, and he won the game for us. We won 5-3 against the Toronto Marlies, and it was a really great game. In the second, JCB, Jean-Christophe Baudin, and Jonathan Aspero both scored, and Toronto tied the game up in the third. And afterwards, the Sens rallied, though, with JCB scoring another one, Cole Reinhart scoring the game winner, the dagger, and Igor Sokolov also scored as well. So what a performance by the whole team. I was super impressed by this game.
To have Mads Søgaard make his professional AHL debut, he's a 6'7", 201-pound goalie. A lot of people are comparing him to the likes of an Andrei Vasilevsky and a Ben Bishop just because he is enormous in the net. 24 saves on 27 shots in his AHL debut. It was an all-around team effort, and it was just an absolutely incredible game for the B-Sens, coming off a few losses in a row, and now they are currently in third in the Canadian division. They sit at 12 wins, 15 losses, and one overtime loss, with 7 games left on their season. So it'll be interesting to see. I haven't heard yet how the playoff schedule is going to work for the American Hockey League, but it's going to be interesting to see how they do going down the stretch. But then Sunday was an even better game, was it not?
Well, it was a better game in the sense that the score was better for the Belleville Senators. They won 4-1 against the Toronto Marlies. But what was interesting about this game is every single goal was scored in the first period. So it was an exciting game for the first 20 minutes. Then it was mostly just back and forth defensive hockey. But what can you say about this performance? You know, Mads the Monster, Søgaard, he won again. He went above and beyond here, saving 29 of the 30 shots. Angus Cruikshank, he scored the first goal, which is nice to see him scoring as opposed to handing out apples. He got assistance from the two Logans on the team, Logan Shaw and Logan Brown. This goal was nice because I thought it was a real good combination of great rink positioning as well as patience. Cruikshank just waited there for the right shot, and then he took no hesitation when he got straight to him. I see that a lot in the NHL nowadays when guys have the puck and you see a little hesitation. I know you probably see it too, Eric. And it frustrates you, but I was really impressed by that goal in particular. Then after, Toronto tied the game up with a nice snipe, and Belleville showed no mercy after that, scored 3 goals back to back. What do you think of this game, Eric?
It was definitely a very solid weekend for the B-Sens, and it'll be interesting to see how they do this coming week, because Friday night they're at Laval, who were just recently crowned the North Division or Canadian Division champions because they're so far ahead of everyone else in the division. And then next Tuesday they play against the Moose. They start a 4-game series against the Manitoba Moose. So 4 of our last 7 games are against Manitoba, all at Canadian Tire Center in Ottawa. So it's going to be an exciting stretch run for the B-Sens. They still have a chance to move up into second if they can get some big wins, but we shall see what happens, right?
It's going to be tough. You know, we had some big problems against the Laval Rocket and Manitoba Moose already this year. If we just keep playing like we did in this game on Sunday, especially even on the penalty kill, because when Parker Kelly got his goal, he turned on the Jets, went end-to-end with his line mates, shorthanded, and then less than 2 minutes later, Joseph Labatt scored his unassisted shorthanded goal. 2 goals on the same penalty kill. That, to me, was insane. You need that kind of level of gameplay going up against these two teams. You know, you have to not give an inch at any point of the game. Always think about scoring those goals, because a lot of those games against the Laval Rocket and Manitoba where we weren't scoring a lot. So we're going to be needing to be scoring a lot more goals if we're going to be putting up any wins against these two teams, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you said, it's been really tough go against those two teams this year. So it will be really, really interesting over the next few games to see how the BSNs can do. And I mean, I have every confidence in them that if they play their game like they did this weekend against, yes, it was the last place Marlies team, but they're not that far behind Ottawa or Belleville, I should say. That's my first slip up, but they're not that far behind Belleville, but it's one of those situations where they can definitely prove that they can, that they're better than they have been this year. I mean, it's going to be a tough stretch, but I believe if they play their game, they can definitely beat any team in that league.
And when they're playing their game, they have to play it smart too, because in that last game, they took 9 penalties in the game, and going forward, Belleville Senators, I think need to play a little bit more disciplined hockey. I mean, they're still playing great hockey, don't get me wrong, but if you take 9 penalties against the wrong team, like the Manitoba Moose, they're going to make you pay for it, right? So
yeah, that's an understatement, because I mean, any game you take 9 penalties, you're likely going to have it go the wrong way for you in that game. So moving on to the NHL and the Senators, big game on Saturday night at the Bell Center. They unfortunately lost 3-2 in overtime. But what did you take away from that game, Zach?
Well, it was a tough, tough OT loss. You know, I hate seeing the Sens lose, especially on a Saturday night, and especially after Tim Stützle got the first goal in the second. And say what you want about the tape job on his stick, I feel like it helps him pull off a shot like he did, absolutely rifling it top shelf to start things off. I thought he played really well that game, despite only getting 2 shots on net. I didn't think he made very many mistakes. Thomas Chabot followed things up with a nice goal sequence from Dadonov and Shane Pinto. I really like that line specifically. There's a lot of dangerous shooters and passers on it. I hope it sticks around for next season. But things kind of went a little out of control for the Sens after that, with Jeff Beatry scoring the goal off a great breakout pass from Tyler Toffoli. And that really sparked the fire for Montreal, because after that, Toffoli scored 1 for himself on a power play. Then the game went to OT. And who was the game, like the hero of the game, Eric, that a lot of players and fans have been excited to see?
Yeah. Hobie Baker winner Cole Caufield, man, what a beautiful overtime game winning goal. Good for this kid. I mean, absolutely incredible player and well deserved to be called up and signed to the team out of college, and just played an absolutely incredible game, got that big game winning overtime goal on Saturday night, and he actually followed it up the next game against Toronto with another overtime game winning goal. So it's like, talk about coming in clutch.
Yeah, what a debut for sure. Overall, that Saturday night game for the Sens, I mean, I think it was a good game. There's not much to be sad about that one, right? It's just an OT loss, you know.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it was definitely a hard-fought game, and they had their chances, but just couldn't pull out the big win in overtime. And then Monday night, they came back home, hosted the Winnipeg Jets, who, as a Jets fan as well, kind of fallen flat at the worst possible time. This game against Ottawa, a 2-1 win for the Sens, the 7th consecutive loss for the Winnipeg Jets. So, I mean, the Jets got the Sens at the worst possible time. And I think for the Sens, they got the Jets at the best possible time. What did you think from this game?
Well, the Winnipeg Jets were given one more reason to hate Mondays, right? They, like you said, they lost their 7th game in a row to the Senators. And we love the Senators, but everybody in the North Division does not. So it was a great goal from Connor Brown to start things off. And then pretty quiet second period, but Gustafson pulled off like one of the most incredible saves of the year, like spinorama with his feet, you know. And then Josh Morrissey netted his 4th goal of the season off a pass from Neil Pionk in a little 4-on-4 action to tie the game. It looked like we were going into OT again, right? But Nikita Zaitsev came through, saved the game, sending an absolute clapper of a slap shot, right? Sending the buck bouncing all over the net. I'm getting crazy just thinking about it. And you could see it on the face of Lauren Brossois and the rest of the Jets after it. You know, it's like, oh God, we just lost this game. Damn.
Yeah, it was definitely the worst possible time to allow that goal. Like, they only had about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left to possibly force it to overtime and at least clinch the one point for the Jets to stay ahead of the Habs in the standings and deal with that. But yeah, seventh loss in a row for the Jets. And like I said, as a Jets fan as well, growing up near Winnipeg, following the Jets when they came back, it's the worst, the absolute worst possible time to go on a massive losing skid when you have, after that game, only five games left in the regular season before you start the playoffs, which, as of right now, they're in the clear. They're going to make the playoffs, most likely, but they're falling. They were second place. They were within a couple points of taking over Toronto for first in the division only a few weeks ago, and now they're falling. They're tied for the third, fourth spot with Montreal at 57 points. Montreal is obviously on a bit of a streak. They've won multiple games in a row, and it'll be interesting to see what they're able to do. And if Montreal can leapfrog Winnipeg, that changes the whole outlook of the playoffs, because I know a lot of people, as soon as they saw that Winnipeg had some distance on the Habs, Edmonton had some distance on the Habs, it was a situation of, oh my God, we're going to get a Habs versus Leafs first round of the playoffs.
Everybody wants that.
Oh, exactly. And I mean, it could still happen if Winnipeg can figure their expletive out and turn this around. But otherwise, if Montreal keeps going the way that they've been going over the last couple weeks, for sure, they could have a chance to face off against the Edmonton Oilers in the first round. So I think the first round of the North Division playoffs are going to be absolutely incredible, no matter who makes it.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure that Calgary can really pull ahead here. I think we've already set our final four when it comes to who's making the playoffs, but I'd be very surprised if Calgary won every single game they have left and then one of those other teams chokes and loses every single game. But I'm literally looking forward to where these teams end up and what that first matchup's going to be. I'm, like I said, I'm really hoping for that Toronto-Montreal because I don't want either of them to advance any further than the first round, but here we are.
Yeah, I mean, this will be the one chance for the Leafs to hopefully get past the first round is to hopefully beat a team like a struggling Winnipeg if they drop, or even Montreal if they stay where they are right now. So it's going to be interesting to see, and it's definitely going to be an interesting next week and a bit before the regular season wraps up, and then the playoffs start right away next weekend. So I'm really, really pumped for the playoffs this year, even if the Jets are continuing to spiral out of control and get kicked out in the first round. It's going to be an exciting playoffs no matter what.
Absolutely.
Now, sticking with the NHL, we'd be, as our professor Dan Mellon would say, it would be a fool's errand if we did not talk about the incident that happened in New York at Madison Square Gardens with Tom Wilson and the Washington Capitals against the New York Rangers. Tom Wilson punching Pavel Buchnevich in the back of the head while he was down on the ice, and then basically lifting up Artemi Panarin and slamming him almost headfirst to the ice, only getting a $5,000 fine for it. What was your reaction to the play, but also to what happened and the shenanigans and the bleep storm that happened after this hit and this incident, and what's going on with the Washington Capitals' Tom Wilson right now?
It's crazy. As soon as I saw that tussle between Wilson and Buchnevich, it was like there has to be something in your head that prevents you from doing that to somebody, especially like cross-checking him pretty much to the ground with his stick on his neck and then hitting him in the head. Like, that's just overkill. And of course, like, somebody's going to come in and break that up. Ryan Strome came in, tried to break it up. Then they started fighting. And then, like you said, yeah, Panarin came in and Wilson slammed him to the ground. It was ridiculous. And Wilson's a reckless player with little regard for anybody. And I think he's going to cross the line again at some point if he's not properly disciplined for it. Like, who do you blame for this? You know, is it the refs for not just kicking him out of the game to begin with? Is it the league not punishing him correctly? Is it the Washington Capitals? Tom Wilson himself? If you ask around the NHL, a lot of people say, like, Tom Wilson doesn't know his own strength. And I can kind of believe that. Like, if you look at the size difference between Panarin and Wilson, it's like night and day, you know, and people have said Wilson, when he fights, he's like a black belt in a bar fight. So, and what gets me too is like no remorse, you know, he had no concern. Like right after this whole tussle, he stood there flexing like Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania. There was no consequences beyond a 10-minute penalty. And yeah, the $5,000 fine, which is probably nothing for him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, $5,000 to him is like a police officer walking up to me and be like, here's a $5 fine for jaywalking or something. Like, it's literally nothing to him.
Well, something a little more awful than jaywalking.
Like, yeah, exactly. But you're still right. It's a $5 fine for an assault. Like, exactly. It's absolutely laughable. The Department of Player Safety, George Parros, is an absolute joke. I don't understand what he's doing. I think personally, over the last 5-10 years or so, the Department of Player Safety has been very, very consistent at being very inconsistent with their rulings. And it's just absolutely laughable that George Parros is a goon. He was a goon when he was playing. He played in 400 and something games and had like 169 fights. Like, he was a goon. He only had like 30 something points in his career. So to have someone like that disciplining guys basically like him is just an absolute joke. And I mean, the New York Rangers came out with their statement the other day saying, okay, well, we don't agree with the ruling. We think George Parros should be fired. Like, and then there was a whole storm of reaction to that. And then they fire their GM, their president of hockey operations. And it's just a complete disaster in New York with the Rangers organization right now. But I think there's going to be a serious, serious look at the Department of Player Safety in the offseason by Gary Bettman, by Bill Daly, by the rest of the NHL brass, because they can't keep going on like this. And I am very heated, as you can tell, that they are very consistent at being extremely inconsistent.
It's right. Yeah, you're right. It's a joke. And the NHL, they have rules against, you know, like saying bad things about the league itself or specific people inside the league. So if the New York Rangers get fined or punished for sending out that message, it's going to be, I'll be unpleasantly surprised.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, if they want someone who's actually going to discipline the players properly, you know what? I will gladly tweet the NHL, give them my name, my address, my email address, my cell phone number. They can call me and offer the job, because I know, even though I've never played an NHL hockey, I've never played hockey professionally or anything along those lines, I would do a 100% better job than George Parros. It is an absolute joke. I just don't understand it. And I really hope that there is change. And if the New York Rangers organization gets fined by the NHL for calling out George Parros, I think that that's going to be even more of like a storm from their fans. I'm sure you'll see something along the lines of like the Rangers fans putting up a GoFundMe to pay the fine for the Rangers, because it's just a joke that you could get fined for calling out someone who deserves to be called out. It's just my opinion. But I mean, if this wasn't an FM radio show, I would be swearing up a storm right now. So,
and nobody would blame you for it, Eric, but you know, we got more sports to talk about. So why don't we take a quick commercial break and we'll get into some more NFL news. What do you say?
Sure. That sounds like a good time for me to take a breather.
All right. Stick around, everyone. We're going to be back with some more NFL news and some more sports news in general. So stick around. You're listening to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Hello again. Welcome back to the Press Box. I'm Zach Netto.
And I'm Eric Fox. So, Zach, I know we kind of got out of that NHL segment a little bit without touching on something that you really wanted to touch on. Tell me a little bit about this amazing goalie that's playing for the Buffalo Sabres right now.
Well, the Buffalo Sabres have had a pretty rough season, and near the end here where we've essentially run out of goalies and we've had to use some emergency loans to get some goalies, but we've ended up here with Michael Hauser, and he's avoided the NHL, not by his choice, but for the last eight and a half seasons, he's been tearing it up in the AHL and the ECHL. But finally, he's landed in the NHL, and he's undefeated in his first two games, beating the Islanders. And what's crazy is he hasn't played a game since March 7th, 2020. So for him to come back into the NHL without having really much time really to warm up, it's awesome, I think. And he's had an amazing story. He was born with bilateral club feet, and he had to have 14 surgeries before he was two. So he was growing up his whole life with people telling him he's not going to be able to make it to the show and stuff like that. But here he is proving them all wrong. So I think it's just a great story for Buffalo right now.
Yeah, it sounds like it's one heck of a Cinderella story, so to speak, to be able to go through everything he's been through and then just be thrown into the net and be like, yeah, it's okay. I'll just win my first two NHL games I've ever played. And like you said, to do it after not playing since last March is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I couldn't be happier. I hope there's room for the big house on Buffalo's roster in the offseason, personally. But moving on,
yeah,
we got to go to the NFL for a little recap on the draft. Eric, what were your basic thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the NFL draft last weekend was... it lived up to all the hype. Like, it was absolutely amazing to watch. As expected, Trevor Lawrence, quarterback from Clemson, goes picked first overall by the Jacksonville Jaguars. The second overall pick, you have Zach Wilson, the quarterback from BYU, getting picked by the Jets. And then the third pick, it ended up being Trey Lance. And I know you were talking to me off air that apparently Jimmy Garoppolo is ready to battle for the starting quarterback position with Trey Lance.
Yeah, it was an interesting pick for sure. Like with Jimmy Garoppolo, he's already like an established quarterback. So it was, I guess they're just preparing for the future at this point. So it'll be interesting to see who gets the more starts this season.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be exciting to watch that battle between Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo. To wrap up the top five, you have Kyle Pitts, the tight end out of Florida, went fourth to the Falcons. The fifth overall pick, Ja'Marr Chase, LSU wide receiver, goes to the Bengals. And then some of the other picks of note, Jaylen Waddle, the wide receiver from Alabama, goes to the Miami Dolphins. Like, that was a pretty big pick for the Dolphins. They need as many weapons as they can get to help Tua Tagovailoa get some more touchdowns and get some like deep threats and some more weapons for him to be able to throw to. What do you think of that pick, Zach?
Well, like we said on last week's episode, I think I'm going to be a Miami Dolphins fan for sure. You know, I really wanted them to pick this player, and lo and behold, they went and picked him. So I'm really looking forward to him. He's one of the fastest draft potentials this year. So I'm super happy. And I know you were pretty happy too with the drama behind New England's pick. And who they ended up with, Mac Jones, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting to watch because a lot of the talk throughout the first 10, 11, 12 picks was, are the Patriots going to pay, like trade up to pick a Justin Fields, or how are they going to do this? The one quarterback that everyone kind of snubbed, I guess, was Mac Jones from Alabama. Like you mentioned, he fell all the way to 15th, right into the lap of Bill Belichick and the Patriots. And oh my God, when I saw that they picked him, I was so happy. I mean, just won the national championship, like Alabama Crimson Tide. I'm really excited to see what what he can do once he starts training camp, and the battle that could pursue between him and Cam Newton for the starting job, because I really don't think Cam Newton has that job locked in, because he was not very good last year. So I'm really interested to see what he can do.
I agree. It was the first NFL draft I've seen, but after this one, it's not going to be the last.
Oh, no, for sure. It's always a fun time watching the NFL draft.
And moving on to basketball, the Raptors are continuing their fight to secure the last spot in the playoffs. Things have been going as they expected the past four games. They lost to Denver 121-111. OG Anunoby got a big 25 points that game. We lost to the Utah Jazz as well. It was a really close game, though. We had a big win against the LA Lakers, 121-114. Spicy P, Pascal Siakam put up 39 points in that game. And then another close game, the Raptors lost to the Clippers, 105-100. But I want to give a big shout out to Kem Birch. He's really been a key role in our rebounds lately. In the past six games, he's led the team in rebounds. So when we're so close to sneaking our spot here in this play-in tournament, he's going to be a real key player to watch, I feel. And we're about two games behind the Washington Wizards for the 10th spot. And we're playing them tonight at 7:30. So you're not going to want to miss that game. And then from there, we play Memphis in a game we should win. And then we face Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers again. Hopefully the outcome will be different. And then our last three games are against Chicago, Dallas, and Indiana. So totally not out of our reach yet. We could still potentially get that fighting chance that we so desperately need. And another big thing that happened is Malachi Flynn was announced as the Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month for April. He's the ninth player in Raptor franchise history to earn this. And he's the first since 2013. So that's pretty cool. He posted an average of 12.7 points. So April was a really great month for him. Really hoping to see a lot more of him going forward. I know you're not a big basketball guy, Eric, but I know we're getting near the wire here. Realistically, with these games ahead, I don't know. Do you think the Raptors have a shot?
I mean, like, just looking at the standings, they're like you said, they're about three and a half games back of Washington for that final playoff spot. So it's going to be tight, but I think that if they can get the momentum going with a few big wins down the stretch here, they can definitely do it. And I saw a stat after that I didn't even clue into, but LeBron is winless against the Raptors since joining the Lakers. So the whole LeBronto thing is kind of put to bed, because the Raptors have had his number since he's moved to LA. So that's kind of a fun stat to rub in LeBron's face after so many years just dominating the Raptors with the Heat and with the Cavaliers. So it's nice to see that the Raptors are finally able to get past their kryptonite that is LeBron James.
I know he's really upset about this play-in tournament, and he said whoever came up with that idea should be fired. It's a complete 180 to his opinion of it last season when he didn't have to participate in a tournament like this. But I just think, yeah, no, it's funny. That's a pretty good stat, actually.
Yeah, the future is still pretty bright for the Raptors, even if they do lose a guy like Kyle Lowry in the offseason, or if he stays, or if he ends up retiring. Like, who knows what's going to happen with him in the offseason, but I think that the future is still going to be very bright for the one-time champions of the NBA, the Toronto Raptors. I'm really excited to see what they have in store the rest of this season. Hopefully the playoffs. If not, look forward to next season. And I think it's going to be a really exciting one, especially if they can get back in front of their home fans at the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, because I've been to a game there and the atmosphere is the reason why they play so well at home, because the fans are just rabid.
And hopefully the Raptors aren't the only team from Toronto to prosper going forward. Some big news that came out was the Buffalo Blue Jays are coming back, and the Blue Jays are going to be playing in Sallent Field starting June 1st, I think, and they'll be playing the rest of the season, their home games at that stadium. So it's kind of cool that Toronto will be playing in their AAA team city.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice to see them back in Buffalo. They played there obviously last year because of the coronavirus pandemic and all that stuff that happened there with the border closing in that. So obviously, like the Toronto Raptors, like any of the Canadian NHL teams or any of these teams that can't have fans in the stands, they want to be able to play at their home arena and they want to be able to play at their home ballpark with fans. But I mean, this is the next closest thing, right? I think they said they're announcing about 25% capacity or something like that at Salem Field. So it's going to be fun to watch the Blue Jays hopefully get into a bit of a groove once they get into Salem Field, because they played pretty well there last year. So I'm really excited to see what they can do.
Me too. You know, we had some pretty big wins against the Atlanta Braves, scoring 13-5, 6-5, and then 7-2. Had some losses though afterwards against the Oakland Athletics, losing 4-5 and 4-1. Not much to say about those games other than, one thing that was interesting at the end of, or during the Atlanta Braves game on Sunday, George Springer left the game early and everybody was expecting him to return in at least one of the games for the Athletics, but didn't happen. So he just grabbed his thigh and walked off. And I figured it was that injury acting up again. But, you know, the staff were saying it's nothing like that, and they described it as fatigue. Now, I don't know what their definition of fatigue is, but that to me means that he's tired. So if he's tired, then he should have been rested. I don't know if it's his muscles that are fatigued or what, but what do you think about this? Do you think they're being fully honest with this diagnosis?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're correct. It's not the same issue that kept him out for the first part of the season. But at the same time, I think that having him play in the few games that he has played so far back to back to back in a big role. I mean, I could see it. Like if you didn't have much of a spring training and you didn't have any game reps, and I mean, they're 14-14 right now. So 28 games in, and he's only played two or three games. If you don't have that runway to build up your strength after rehabbing an injury, I wouldn't be surprised if it's just his muscles are fatigued. He needs some more reps, some more warm-ups, some stretches, some massages, whatever he needs to do. But even just the few games that he has played, he proved why they paid him in the offseason to come to Toronto. And if he can get healthy, I mean, the last thing you want is him to come back and then re-injure something and be out for the rest of the season. So I think this is the right move. Precautionary measures, like give him a little bit more rest, maybe a little bit more rehab, whatever they need to do to make sure that when he does play, if he's going to play on a consistent basis, that he plays fully healthy, that he's not going to be fatigued after playing 9 innings on a Friday, 9 innings on a Saturday, and 9 innings on a Sunday. Give him a couple games off or a game with a DH or stuff like that. So, I mean, there's lots of options, but I think it's going to be a good thing to have him rest a little bit and then get ready for some more games coming up here in the near future. So.
Exactly. He knows what it takes for him to play well. So he just needs, like you said, the extra time to get better so that he can play to his full ability. Because as of right now, he's got no problem hitting the ball. It's playing outfield, which is where I think he really shines. And if you can't run for the ball, then that's a problem. So they just need to give him the rest he needs, right? Until he can come back and play every position he can to the full ability. But if you look at Toronto's AAA minor league team, Buffalo Bisons, they just had a game against the Worcester Red Sox, beating them 6-1. And their pitcher, Nate Pearson, won his first game pitching for them. And he's a prospect I think we might see join the team maybe at some point this season, because he missed the Jays training camp because of his injury. He's somebody who's really big to watch out for, Nate Pearson. So I think if we run into maybe a pitching problem later on the season, I think Nate Pearson might be the guy to step up to the plate.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, they were really looking forward to having him in the lineup on opening day. He played pretty well near the end of last season when he made his MLB debut, and they were really, really high on him to play really well this coming season. But yeah, like that injury that kept him out of training camp, spring training, and the game so far, to be able to rehab and play in Buffalo and get that first win win and hopefully get a couple wins under his belt and then maybe join the Blue Jays once they move to Buffalo so he doesn't have to travel or anything. That'll be interesting to see where they fit him in with the rotation once he's back 100% healthy and confident and ready to go, because I really am excited to see what he can do. I mean, this team, if they can get everybody healthy, they have a couple guys that are on the injured reserve right now, and they also have I believe they still have at least one guy on the COVID list. So I mean, it's one of those things, if everyone can get back healthy with the chemistry that this team has, I think that this team is going to be very dangerous for the rest of this season, if not like for years to come, especially with the guys like Biggio and Bichette and Guerrero Jr. and obviously George Springer and so many other guys that just seem to be able to hit the ball whenever they want and on a regular basis. So it's like we've discussed in the NHL and stuff like that. Anytime you make the playoffs, anything can happen. So you never know, right?
Exactly. And like you said, it's still an early part of the season. Still plenty of time for all the pieces to come into place and for them to be in working order and everything. So I'm looking forward to seeing a more competitive and consistent Blue Jays game going forward.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more.
Well, that does it for this segment. Stick around because we'll be back for some sports bets this week. You don't want to miss it because I've really brought my A game this week, guys. So stick around. You're listening to The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
And we are...
Go for it.
And we are back. I'm Eric Fox.
And I'm Zach Natto. Sorry that Lita couldn't join us this episode.
Yeah, we miss you, Lita, but we hope you will be back next week. But Zach, let's quickly, before we get to the part of the show that everybody looks for every week, your sports bets, let's take a look at what is the last three games of the NHL season for the Ottawa Senators. So Saturday, they head out to Winnipeg to face off against the Jets. What are you taking from that game? And what do you think, based on the game that we talked about earlier in the show where they beat the Jets, do you think that they can follow it up with another spoiler win versus the Jets?
I think so. I think Winnipeg's really struggling with their reaction game in these games. You know, they don't react the right way to scenarios. You know, if they're the other team's charging at them, they don't get to where they need to be in time. So if Winnipeg keeps playing the way they do, Ottawa's going to walk all over them in this one.
Yeah, I mean, I've discussed this before. I am a Jets fan growing up near Winnipeg, but I'm also a Sens fan, and I really think that the Jets are just absolutely playing brutal right now, and I can definitely see the Sens continuing their kind of hot streak down the stretch here, just to say, you know what, look out for us next year, because if they can get some big wins against the Jets on Saturday and then they head to Calgary on Sunday against the Flames, who, like we said earlier, they're kind of still fighting for a playoff spot, looking very unlikely that they will make it. I mean, it is one of those things where if they can get those two wins, that's going to be two huge wins. What do you think on a back-to-back, do you think that they can do against the Flames on Sunday?
I think Ottawa has a very good chance of having a very good weekend of hockey, just like the Belleville Senators did last weekend. Calgary is another team that Ottawa's just seems to do really good against. And I think the Flames are, they're like all the players, their minds are on other things right now this season. I don't know. I don't think there's much morale left in the locker room. And I think, yeah, the Sens are just way more focused and energized this late in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, the Flames, like we've discussed several times in this show, it's they had a chance to move themselves closer to the playoffs, but I just think that, like you said, it's they're just not all there in their heads right now. It's just a bit of a dumpster fire in Calgary. And I think that Ottawa can just go in there, play spoiler, and possibly with a win, a couple wins coming up here, including one against the Flames. And if Calgary continues to play the way that they've been playing, Ottawa can pass them in the standings and move into that fifth spot. I mean, everybody, every single expert at the beginning of the season said the Sens are going to finish seventh of seven in the North Division. There's no way that they're going to get out of that basement, but they're proven to everybody that they still have that chance to move up to fifth. They're in sixth right now. I think that game against Calgary is going to be very big for both teams. And then Wednesday night, finish this season, Wednesday, May 12th at home against the Leafs. I mean, you can't go wrong with finishing this season with a Battle of Ontario. You know that the Leafs are going to be most likely resting players for the playoffs. And the Sens are going to be like, okay, this is our perfect chance. Let's jump all over them and just absolutely annihilate them. So I think that Wednesday night, having played Saturday, Sunday, coming home and resting a couple days, practicing, and then coming out Wednesday, like I said, the Leafs are likely to be resting a bunch of players. So I won't be surprised if the Sens just come out on top in that game as well.
I think it's a golden opportunity for a three-peat of dubs for our boys these next couple games, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely expect them to go 3-0 down the stretch. So, I mean, it would be huge to follow up these last few games and get that confidence boosted right before you head into the offseason. And then you know, okay, the teams that kind of shrugged you off, like a Winnipeg, like a Toronto, like a Montreal, that thought that they were going to play a lot better against us this year and that we were going to be an absolute trash team and just bottom of the standings all year, no chance of getting wins like everybody predicted. I think that this is going to be huge for them if they can go 3-0 down the stretch. Now, that being said, 3-0 down the stretch for the Senators, let's talk about the moment that everybody tunes into this show every Thursday morning to hear your sports bet picks. What have you got in store for us this week? How did we do last week? And what's our record looking at right now for the year? So let's take the moment and enjoy Zach's sports bets. Let's go, Zach.
What an intro. Thank you, Eric. Well, last week for episode 7, we finished 2-2. Our hockey bets came through and our basketball ones did not. So I think to achieve another perfect week of 4-0, or at least a positive one, I think our plan is to stick with what's been getting us paid, and that's hockey. This week's bets are all hockey because it'll be the last weekend of play for a lot of the teams, and we're starting things off with my bonus pick. My bonus pick of the week is between the Buffalo Sabres and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now, the entire Buffalo Sabres team and staff are fired up from their back-to-back wins against the Islanders earlier this week. Michael Hauser looks to be in good form. We're not playing since March of last year, but Buffalo's only beaten Pittsburgh once, and all the L's the Penguins have handed them have been rough ones. As a Buffalo fan, it pains me to do this, but to achieve that acclaimed 4-0 bet score, I have to make this sacrifice. My bonus pick of the week is the Pittsburgh Penguins covering a -1.5 spread to beat the Buffalo Sabres. Moving on to the money line, the rest of the underdogs for today weren't looking like winners, so we're planning ahead. This money line bet is for Friday's game against the Blues and the Knights. If you look at St. Louis's past games, they're either wins or losses by one goal. Also, with Max Pacioretty out of the lineup for the Knights, that's a key player in Vegas's offense that St. Louis should take advantage of. This team wants another run for the cup, and they're playing the right hockey to pull off the upset in this one. My money line pick for today is the St. Louis Blues being the Vegas Golden Knights on Friday. Now, for the over-under, in almost every matchup between these two teams, the total has gone over except for one. With this being the last matchup between these two teams and the last of a three-game series between them, this is one last chance for these teams to go off on each other. And what are these two teams? The Chicago Blackhawks and the Carolina Hurricanes. The Aho, Niederreiter, and Teravainen line is one of the best in the NHL, but Chicago also has Kubalik, Patrick, Showtime Kane, and Alex DeBrincat. So I know they've still got some hockey left in them to score on Carolina in this one. My over-under pick for this week is over 5.5 goals between Chicago and Carolina. And lastly, my handicap spread pick is between the Montreal Canadiens and Toronto Maple Leafs. Basically, these two teams can't help but hate each other, and I, for one, would like to see them both lose, but I can see this game going either way. I'm just hoping that Montreal doesn't blow this for us here. I'm hoping they fight hard in this one to get a better spot than Winnipeg. Some desperate Canadian hockey means they're winning this game, or it's going to OT. My handicap slash spread pick this week is the Montreal Canadiens winning with a plus 1.5 handicap. Eric, do you think we can recreate the magic that was 4-0 back in episode 4 for our sports bets picks?
Yes, I fully believe in your sports bets picks. I think that those picks are just absolute fire. I mean, you can't go wrong with the hate between the Habs and the Leafs. That Chicago-Carolina game is going to be exciting, like you said. I mean, Buffalo-Pittsburgh, yeah, I know you cheer for Buffalo, but Pittsburgh's just been on fire this year, and their goalie, DeSmith and Jari, have helped me win several fantasy weeks this year in fantasy hockey. So I'm pulling for them in that one as well, unfortunately. And I'm sorry for that, Zach. But I mean, that Friday night St. Louis-Vegas game is going to be off the hook because, like you said, I mean, St. Louis has been either big wins or close losses. And then with some injuries with Vegas, I think that, yeah, it's going to be a really exciting game. So I am extremely hyped for your picks, man. I believe in you 100%. You've come through week after week. We've had some 2-2s. We've had some 3-1s. And we've had that 4-0. So I feel like we can do that 4-0 again. Let's do it. And what a better way to do it with some stretch run hockey.
And I just want to say our total record right now after 7 episodes is 14-11. So we're hoping to be 18-11 by the next episode. So stay tuned, guys, for updates on that.
That is absolutely incredible. 14-11. I mean, I want to go 4-0 every week. Like, let's do it. Let's have some fun. Go 4-0 every week. And I mean, if you can give me some 4-0s back to back, I think I might have to start putting some money on your picks, man. Cause geez, like, I don't know. You seem to have them bang on every week almost.
Well, I try and have a little balance of logic, safety, and a little bit of risk, you know, in these bets. So maybe going forward, if we want to have more safe bets, I'll take that in mind. But right now, I think we're going to be pretty good with these picks. I'm looking forward to some playoff hockey and basketball, though. That's always the best time to bet on sports.
Oh, for sure. It's going to be an exciting couple weeks coming up with the end of the NBA and the end of the NHL seasons and the playoffs starting. I am pumped and ready to go, man. All right, well, for myself, Eric Fox, and my good buddy, the sports bet genius, Zach Natto, we want to thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Press Box here on CKDJ 107.9. We hope you have a great weekend, and let's have some fun. Zach, what do you say?
Oh, I'm always down for some fun, Eric.
All right. Well, have a great day, everyone. Have a great weekend. And like I said, I'm Eric Fox.
And I'm Zach Natto.
Have a great one and stay tuned next week for the next episode of The Press Box here on CKDJ 107.9.
Boom. Bye-bye. Awesome. Cool.
And that's how it's done, son.
Bingo, bango, bongo.